I lost my first hen in March. Not to disease, not to old age. I lost her because I was certain I had built a solid coop, and I was wrong, and a raccoon found the gap I had missed before she did. I remember standing in the backyard at 6 in the morning with a cup of coffee I hadn't had a chance to drink yet, looking at the feathers on the ground and doing the mental math of what I had missed. The gap was 3 inches wide, maybe a little less. Raccoons don't need much more than that. I'm telling you this before anything else, because I want you to hear the part nobody says out loud when they're selling you starter kits and telling you how simple it all is. Backyard chickens are one of the most rewarding things I have ever done on this land. They are also humbling in a way that vegetables never quite manage to be, because vegetables don't get scared, and vegetables don't have specific needs that they will express to you in the form of a misplaced egg in a corner of the coop where no nesting box exists. The first time I found an egg outside the nesting box, I thought it was charming. I picked it up, I photographed it, I made an omelet out of it. I was missing something important. I'll come back to that. If you are thinking about backyard chickens this spring, and if you're reading this in April, you absolutely should be, because spring is when the feed stores get their chick orders in, and when the weather cooperates with getting a coop up and running before winter. Let me give you the version of the beginner's guide that includes the parts I had to learn the hard way, because the cheerful versions glossed over the specific things that will cost you time and money if you don't know them going in. Start with the coop, not the chickens, the coop first, fully built and fully secured, before a single bird comes home. I know this seems obvious. I thought it was obvious. I built the coop, I added the hardware cloth, I added the latch, and then I found out in the worst possible way that hardware cloth stapled to a wooden frame can be pulled free by a determined animal if you haven't used screws and washers to back up the staples. Staples alone are not enough. I'm telling you this because I didn't know it, and nobody told me, and the predator pressure in most American suburban backyards in 2026 is significant enough that this is not a theoretical concern. The rule I use now: build the coop as though a raccoon, a opossum, a neighborhood dog, and possibly a hawk are all going to make an attempt on it within the first 6 months. Because they will. Hardware cloth, not chicken wire. Chicken wire keeps chickens in. It does not keep predators out. Screws and fender washers at every attachment point. A buried apron of hardware cloth extending 12 inches out from the base of the run, bent 90 degrees downward and outward to stop anything that tries to dig underneath. A lock on the coop door that requires 2 steps to open. Not because the predator is clever, but because latches that require only one motion can be accidentally triggered by wind or a foraging chicken pushing from the inside. Once the coop is actually predator-proof, and I mean actually, not optimistically, then you can think about your flock. For a first-time backyard homesteader with a suburban or semi-rural property, I recommend starting with 4 to 6 hens, no rooster unless you have confirmed your local ordinances permit it, and a dual-purpose breed that lays well and handles weather variations without being fragile. My current flock runs Rhode Island Reds and Buff Orpingtons. Both are forgiving birds. They lay consistently through most of the year. They have good temperaments with children and dogs, and when things go wrong, and things will go wrong, they are resilient in a way that some of the more specialized laying breeds are not. 4 hens, properly managed, will give you between 16 and 24 eggs a week, depending on the season. That number drops hard in November and December as the days shorten and your hens redirect energy away from laying and toward feather regeneration. This is the molt. If you have never seen a chicken in active molt, it is genuinely alarming the first time the birds look bedraggled, half bald in patches, and frankly unwell. They are not unwell. They are doing the thing their bodies are designed to do in autumn. They will look like small feathered disaster zones for 4 to 8 weeks, and then they will come out the other side with fresh plumage and, for most breeds, improved laying through the following year. The molt is when I found my second misplaced egg. I had 1 hen, a Rhode Island Red, I had named Marigold, which I would recommend against because it makes the practical decisions harder, who had always been the most consistent layer in the flock. Every morning, first in the box, egg deposited in the correct location, like she had read the instructions. When the molt started, her laying dropped off completely, which is normal. But one morning, I found an egg in the back corner of the coop, wedged against the wall, no nesting box in sight. Same situation as the one I had called charming 8 months earlier and photographed with such pleasure. This time, I paid attention to what was happening around it. Marigold had been standing away from the rest of the flock. She wasn't eating as aggressively at the feeder. The other hens weren't actively bullying her, but the flock hierarchy was renegotiating itself the way it does when one bird's energy drops, and she was lower in the order than she'd been before the molt. She was laying in the corner because she didn't feel safe enough to hold a nesting box. Here is what that first misplaced egg, the one I photographed and made into an omelet, was actually telling me. One of my hens was stressed in a way I hadn't registered yet. I had been so focused on the physical infrastructure of the coop, on predators and feed and water, that I hadn't been paying attention to the social infrastructure of the flock. Chickens are hierarchical, and they are attuned to stress in ways that show up in laying behavior before they show up anywhere else. A hen who is laying in a corner, or not laying at all, or laying soft-shelled eggs, is usually a hen who is dealing with something: heat stress, social stress, nutritional deficiency, low-grade illness that your eyes haven't caught yet. I started supplementing Marigold's diet with extra protein through the molt, mealworms, black soldier fly larvae, a small amount of hard-boiled egg, which I know sounds paradoxical, but chickens in active molt need amino acids that their regular layer pellets don't always provide in sufficient quantity. Her energy came back. She rejoined the flock hierarchy in her old position. The corner egg stopped. She is in her second full year now and still the most consistent layer in the coop. What I want you to take from this is not a sentiment about listening to your animals, although that is also true. What I want you to take is the specific and practical knowledge that laying behavior is diagnostic. It tells you things before other symptoms do. A hen who suddenly changes where she lays, or how often, or what time of day, is showing you something. Pay attention to it the same way you'd pay attention to a strange noise in your car. The sooner you understand what the signal means, the sooner you can address it, and the cheaper it gets. Spring chicks ordered now, and most hatcheries and feed store chick orders for the spring season close in late April will reach laying age in September or October, which means you'll hit your first molt almost immediately, and your serious laying production will start in the following spring. Some people see this as a reason to wait until next year. I see it as a gift. You get one full cycle, molt and all, before your expectations around production get locked in, and you learn the flock's rhythms before you're depending on them for your egg supply. The food price environment we are living in right now, in spring of 2026, makes this conversation more practical than philosophical. Eggs at the grocery store have not been cheap, and the supply chain pressures that drove those prices are not fully resolved. A flock of six laying hens, fed properly and managed well, can offset a meaningful percentage of your household's egg costs within a year. Not completely feed, bedding, and infrastructure are real expenses, but the math works in your favor once the coop is paid off and the flock is established. The thing I want to leave you with is this. Chickens will find every gap you left in your planning, your coop, and your thinking. That is not a criticism. It is what I have come to appreciate about them. The coop you build will have a gap you didn't mean to leave. The hen you underestimated will be the first one to show you something you needed to know. The egg you find in the wrong place is not in the wrong place by accident. I found my first misplaced egg and thought it was charming. I found my second and understood what it was trying to tell me. What will you do with yours?